wanted her to break up with me and take up with the attorney. So Moira felt very torn at this time. We loved each other, but our relationship spiked up and plunged down, always confused. During the run of 5th of July, Moira's father passed away. It was hard on her, and I tried my best to help her through. In January 1979, Chicago experienced a blisteringly cold winter with record amounts of snowfall. Steppenwolf rented the Hull House again and was set to perform the absurdist drama Exit the King during one of our hardest winters ever. Snow piled high throughout Chicago, over people's heads in some places, and people literally rode snowmobiles up and down the street in front of the theater. We wondered if anyone would come to the play. In typical Steppenwolf style, we threw everything we had into the show, and after it opened, critics reviewed it well. But given the cold nights and frosty streets, and perhaps the non-traditional tone of the play, hardly anyone showed up to see it. After the last show, we got together at someone's apartment. Malkovich looked at me, and I looked at Malkovich. And Jeff looked at Terry, and Terry looked at Jeff. No one knew what to do or say. Steppenwolf was broke, completely flat out of money. It was maybe our lowest point as a company. The winter ice thawed. In the spring, back in the basement in Highland Park, Steppenwolf somehow scraped up enough cash to put on another play. But in my quietest moments, I began to have doubts about what I was doing, and I wondered if I should take a break from the theater. Try something else. It was just so difficult to make acting a career. Did I actually have the stuff to make it? I decided not to be part of the play. Instead, I could take advantage of the opportunity of my parents having a place to stay in California and give Hollywood a try instead. So Moira and I made a decision to take a break from Steppenwolf, move out to Los Angeles, and live with my parents for a while. And we also decided to get married. Mom was thrilled and jumped into wedding planning with Moira, but I could tell something was churning in Moira's mind. In Los Angeles, I worked with my dad at his editing business and tried to land auditions anywhere I could think of, but everywhere I went, I heard the same thing. Casting directors asked, "Where did you study?" And I said, "Well, I didn't study. I started a theater company in Chicago." And they said, "Go get some acting lessons and come back." Dad knew someone at the daytime soap General Hospital, so I landed a job for one day as an extra. It was a disco scene with the two stars, Luke and Laura, one of my first brushes with being on set. I danced in the background at a club while Luke and Laura played their scene. This was my first experience in Hollywood. Just one of a dozen extras shaking my hips in the background. I felt like an idiot, and afterward I wasn't sure what to make of it all, but at least it put a few bucks in my pocket. A tiny Hollywood theater called the Met had placed an ad in the newspaper. They were looking for an actor to step into the role of the son in a play called Curse of the Starving Class by Sam Shepard. Malkovich had performed the same show a year earlier in Chicago, not with Steppenwolf, and I'd seen it, so I was already familiar with the play. They were auditioning actors because the guy playing the son had been in the role for a while. It was an equity waiver production in a theater with only 55 seats. Equity is the term given to the Theater Actors Union, and under an equity waiver contract, in theaters with under 99 seats, equity actors can work basically for free and do 4 performances a week, a total of 80 shows in the same production, before a regular union contract needs to be negotiated. The Met Theater wanted to keep the show running without going union. If you act in an equity show, you waive a salary, but you get paid gas money, with the chance that agents, casting directors, and film producers will wander into the show and see you. So I auditioned.